Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, January the 21st, 21st day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisorette out of the 4th District, Virginia Bass. Oh, you're multitasking. All right. That would be texting while talking.
I'm looking at, important phone call I just missed. Wants to be a call-in today.
I see. So this is a priority issue then.
No, it could have been. It could be about your show.
Could be. Yeah. Why are you still on there? Okay. This afternoon, we got a couple of different things to catch up on. It's been a little bit of time. We'll talk a little bit about the jail, some of the stuff that's going on inside the courthouse, non-jail related. Also, Virginia had the chance to go to CSAC and found out some interesting things that may bode well for us. And we'll talk also about the Multiple Assistance Center. It's something that has kind of gone off the radar screen, and it's about to pop back on. And we'll do our best when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see if we can find one that'll...
Is there something about Wednesday being the middle of the week?
Wednesday. Okay. All right, here's one. It's not really Wednesday. It's just kind of fun. Unknown source. Cannibals aren't vegetarians. They're humanitarians. You're not going to think hard. Yeah, how good she got. Well, at least it was a food one for you.
Thanks. Glad I already had lunch.
Yeah. Well, what can I tell you? Oh, boy. I would imagine that one of the most frustrating elements of being a supervisor is being directed. Not being directed from the locals, but being directed or having to deal with things that the state doesn't want to deal with, and whether it's unfunded mandates or mandates or little surprises and things like that. How do you process that so that you're not wanting to go to Sacramento every other week and get physical?
I think there's not a week that goes by that we don't run up against mandates or against something that we think is unfair. So we probably do think about it, and we do go there frequently. And hopefully we're starting to make a difference. But it is frustrating. But the best thing we can do is when we are in Sacramento or we have connections that, people we can talk to, we start telling them, what the issues are.
You got CSAC, and I know that there's a lobbying group. Great. Okay, so they lobby against... or rail against the bureaucracy. What if that information was taken to the public in each of the 58 counties and said, this is what the state is doing, boom, 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 boom. And instead of lobbying, which doesn't really seem to be as effective because you got the political machinery you're going up against, develop peer pressure and get the phones ringing. And every time their local reps are out doing grocery shopping, somebody's talking to them about some of these weird things that their boss voted for and kind of nibble them to death.
I think that would work great in some areas. But the truth of the matter is what is important to us in a lot of the rural counties, the people that have the larger voice, the population centers, their nibbles are not going to be the same. For us, the Williamson Act is money that we're never going to get back from the state. And it's really frustrating. But if you mention that to other counties that have very little, land in Williamson Act, program, it's not important to them. So It's I think what we need to do is work really closely with our local legislators, which right now I am really, really excited about having Mike McGuire and Jim Wood on board in Sacramento, because I have never seen two people jump into, I guess you'd say a new job, with not even just both feet. It's like they just did a full cannonball.
The first few weeks, yeah.
I was fortunate to visit with them both last week, and it was really interesting. And they're both, they have a different approach to things. But Mike McGuire, Senator McGuire, we went and started out having coffee in the morning at 7:30, and there was nobody in this restaurant. And I said, "Where is everybody?" And he's like, "Sacramento doesn't even come to work until 9:30." And it's interesting to see he has such a strong work ethic. He reminds me of Rex Bone as far as, you know, starting the day early. And just,
well, 7:30 isn't early, though.
Well, apparently, I mean, for Sacramento, it is.
Relatively, yeah. But
you wonder, it's like, you know, in local government, you're up, you know, there's, you're working all the time. You're working on weekends, and it's nice to have people.
How about local people?
Well, local, maybe, and that's us being, you know, people have a certain work ethic. But it just, I was really, really pleasantly, not surprised, because I expected it, but yeah. But to actually to realize that, unfortunately, when it gets to the level of Sacramento, they work generally, some of them, fewer days. It's so much process oriented, and I think we're really lucky to have two people who are just really trying to dig in on the issues that are important to us.
So as you look at some of the issues that CSAC is wrestling or isn't wrestling, you know, when the governor decides he's going to balance his budget, so he balances it, but it's not the way that normal people define balanced budget. I wrote a missive to CBS News, because there was a, was it early last week? Yeah. Charlie Osgood did two things on Jerry Brown as a potential presidential candidate, and they were talking about how he had balanced the budget in California. And I said, well, technically, yes. But let's go at least one layer down here and see, how did he balance the budget? And then we started talking about how he, or at least I was sharing, how he balanced the budget basically on the backs of the cities and the counties by shifting responsibility and
monies.
Well, and limited monies. No. And that's how he balanced the budget. Well, that's not balancing the budget. That's kicking the can. So when we're looking at this, and it's not just Humboldt County, obviously, it's all of the counties in the state, why isn't everybody up in arms at anyone who voted for a budget that allowed that to happen, and how their counties were negatively impacted?
I think it's been happening for years, quite frankly. Do you have to say this budget?
The frog in the pot?
This budget actually pays back a fairly large portion of mandates to local communities. So we can talk about that after the break.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, before the break, you were talking a little bit about some of the things that were going on or aren't going on at the state to the counties. What are those things? I mean, we hear some of the numbers, and I think because we're not having to deal with them on a day-to-day, it kind of blows right past us. What are some of those things that you see that are going on that you have hopes that McGuire and Wood might make some changes into?
I think the one that's on the top of the heap and actually has an opportunity to happen fairly quickly is money in regards to jet fuel sales that local airports currently have been paying. There's a tax I mean, what a surprise. There's a tax that gets paid that is supposed
to
come back.
Well, like we do at the gas pumps.
Well, and there's various different ones that are tacked on, but there are portions that are supposed to come back to local communities that apparently for years have been being swept by the state for their general fund. And in talking to Senator McGuire, he and several others, apparently this has been in process for some time, but they are looking forward to moving forward legislatively a solution, or it might have even been a summary judgment that would, in effect, make these monies be returned to local government, and at which time they're still working out the process. It's looking like it could be between $250 to $300 million. And while I'm sure LAX probably feels they should get the lion's share, they're going to carve out a good portion for small, you know, aviation, you know, communities with aviation divisions and airports. And it'll be a competitive process to get the funds, but they're looking at making it three-year grants to be used towards, you know, facilities improvement, airline recruitment. I think they're still defining what that's going to look like. But he feels very certain that there is enough support to make this happen. And
$250 to $300 million that nobody has seen disappearing.
Or gave up hopes of getting it back.
But you hadn't heard about it. You're what, 5 years in now?
Correct.
Okay, and Phil has been there how long? A little bit longer?
Oh, yeah, a little bit longer,
right.
Actually a bit longer.
In various roles, and nobody at the county?
Well, either that or they've known for a long time and just finally threw up their hands. But this was news to me, and
kind of cool. It's kind of like the old motor pool fund.
Yeah.
Oh, how much do we have? Oh, surprise, surprise.
Well, yeah, and what you know, you can't count your chickens before your eggs are hatched, but...
No, but now it's competitive bidding, which means there'll be a bureaucracy associated with it, taking some of the monies away. And yeah, LAX should get the lion's share.
Well...
They're paying it in.
But those of us who, you know, have airports should, if we sold fuel here...
You should get back, which...
But we went, actually, this way we can actually get more than we earned.
Piggy, piggy, piggy.
Well, you know, you got to think about
what infrastructure does Humboldt County need? I've been told that the Eureka Arcata Airport is pretty nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Or are you talking about the Ronervilles and the Neelands and the airstrips around?
Could be all of the county airports could, you know, there may be areas where that would be invested. But of course, in my thoughts, you know, working so much with the, you know, Fly Humboldt Group and actually. I'm going to a conference in Denver and really looking forward to conversations.
Not nonstop. Okay. Or are you flying out of Medford going nonstop?
Oh, I'm not telling you. And I'm not
either
driving.
Either way, you're dead meat, aren't you?
But I think the air recruitment and retention is important. So, but what I think that's going to be a process. We'll probably go through that at the board level once we know what this looks like. You know, again, I don't want to count my chickens before the eggs are hatched.
No,
I
saw a presentation rather by the airport a week ago.
Yes.
And she was indicating pretty much that whatever we try to do, unless it's a monetary guarantee, thank you very much, but they're operating on a whole different playing scale, and that the opportunity to influence is very little because of they're going through their fleet remodeling,
right,
or readjustment, and they're not going to certain places because they don't want to,
fees are too expensive,
and it's like, okay, so then why are we going through all this,
you know, because there's always opportunity out there. I mean, watching what's happening in Del Norte, right, it's kind of interesting because a lot of it is rumor based and nobody really knows what's going on, but you start thinking of possibilities. You know, what if someone just declares they're interested in Del Norte? Gosh, well, maybe we have an opportunity there that we don't know about yet. You know, it's keeping the options open. You're right. The money is important to have as far as a fund, and it does make you more attractive. But I think sometimes it's just the right day, the right idea strikes, and
Serendipity,
and opportunity does knock, and you don't want to miss that when they're at the door.
KINS, especially if the door's in Denver. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Virginia Bass. Virginia, some of the things I think that the county cities do kind of goes, after it's off the front page, I think it goes to the zero. I mean, there are a lot.
Goes to the zero.
Well, when was the last time you heard anything about the boardwalk? Okay. And it was a big.
Only if there's an issue, a problem.
A body found underneath it, kind of thing.
There you go.
Development in that area. We haven't heard anything in forever because of whatever reasons. So we front page stuff, then it disappears, and I think the community memory, the half life must be about an hour and a half. And we go on.
Right.
I can remember, as you can, when the Mac Center was being conceptually contemplated.
Yes.
Holy Toledo. I mean, it was going through the meat grinder. We don't want it here. We don't want it there. It can't be. It can't look. Okay, when was the last time anybody said anything about, or can anybody even define what MAC was short for, unless you happen to be one of the government types?
I think It's on a lot of people's radar who either have a business nearby or, receive services. But you're right, 10 years, I think, to site the location. And then it shifted from the original population that it served to the families because of funding issues. And you don't really hear a lot about it unless there is, like many things, an issue that arises.
Yeah, if there's a police related issue or safety issue, yeah.
And, we're going to be hearing a lot more about it because we are looking, the county along with the city, we are looking at the reconfiguration of it.
Now what does that mean?
Well, from the standpoint, currently it's, the family-oriented programs, which would continue. We recently sat in on the City of Eureka's general plan portion with the homeless component that a group called Focus Strategies was brought in from Sacramento to do. And they gave a lot of information on how the transitional housing that we've come to, we think we know how it operates, is not always the best to get people kind of onto self-sufficiently and get them, into housing and into the job market the way it's currently run. And so...
is that government's function?
Well, we can help be a coordinator. I think it's community, and I think there's coordination, but what they're trying to say is there's better ways to get people moving more quickly into the system.
So as you look at the MAC, or Multiple Assistance Center now, most folks see it as the snappy-looking building on the corner of the Target parking lot. When that was put in, Target wasn't there.
Ward's was there.
The Shell was there, and you had the Pepsi bottling plant in that area.
It's still there.
Yeah, they've got the distribution, not the bottling side. So what has been, if you look at it now over the last years, has it achieved the goals that were put out for it? Is this a win, or is anybody even tracking it?
There are people that track it, and we get a report once a year or so. There are a lot of families who have gone on to buy a house, become fully employed, have their children in school. It's worked for some. And what we're looking at now is just making it more of a where not all families would live under one roof. It'd be more of the scattered site settings throughout the community, which would still have...
Kind of like the drug houses? Not the drug houses, but the like the crossroads and the...
How exactly? Are there going to be apartment units? But they'd still have all the services that are provided. And the idea is... to make the MAC more of a triage for the people that we are finding in the homeless community, to get them to a place where we can help get them the services they need. If it's mental health...
So you think a short-term situation.
And to get them maybe someone just needs temporary housing, maybe someone needs medical services, maybe someone needs addiction services. But right now it's really hard because there's not a place you can bring people in and just help point them in the direction where they need to go and help them get there. Because if
isn't that like what Public Guardian and their counselor DHHS does and that kind of
thing?
Well,
that's if they're in, if they've come in. And there's a lot of folks that are out there, as you know, that nobody has even seen for services. And that's, you know, now you've read in the newspaper the law enforcement mental health liaison teams that are going out together. That's mental health working with EPD to reach the folks that, you know, are kind of in the high
the ones that
flyers,
Andy's seeing,
you know,
on a regular basis.
Yeah, and do the intervention to actually stop that cycle. And so, you know, there's a lot of discussion that still meant, you know, that still needs to be had. But part of it is whatever we're doing, we're not doing it right. We're not being as effective as we can.
Is it an issue of money?
I think it's both. I think you have to find out the best approach that you think is going to do what you want to have done, and then shift the money when you can into making that mission happen. And that's why I'm actually thinking that this is a good move. It fits in with the City of Eureka's general plan and their focus strategies. They put a lot of effort into finding out what's working in other communities. And of course, I can't say how it expands to the rest of the county, but I think working hand in hand with the city, it could be a good option. But it's not without its own set of, you know, concerns that there's going to be problems.
So from a budget perspective, this is just reprioritization?
No, actually from the budget perspective, the monies that the TANF monies that help with the families, that's the temporary aid for needy families money that's, I believe, federal or state. It's a Wednesday. It's one of those. It's not ours. That's still available. That's why the services are going to still be provided, but in a different way. The monies that can help make this change in the MAC actually are from the Affordable Care Act, because now mental health services can be, you know, can receive the funding. So before, people who were out there that didn't really qualify to get help, this becomes available. There's also some funding that's available through, you know, for severely mentally ill individuals from the Mental Health Services Act. So it's money that we had available to us. We're prioritizing what's the best way to spend it.
So it sounds like the mental health issues aren't being properly addressed now, or that they're going to become the highest priority with this new approach.
Well, I think they're going to become a higher priority, especially with the liaison team going out, because the police know who.
Right, but that's in place now.
Just this week.
Well, I understand. The guys are out rolling with it, but this sounds like another overriding bureaucracy that needs to be funded from something that's going to be addressing a situation that already exists, that many of us perceive there's already monies to help address.
Well, but there's really not. The people that are the hardest to reach have been out there for so many years that neither law enforcement or mental health by themselves have been able to bring them in to make the change. I don't know if make the change, but to help, you know, and that's where I think these two, the team and the MAC, work really well together, because the EPD and law and mental health folks can identify who is most likely that they can help, who needs to, you know, find family to go back home to. And I don't think it's that we're not been doing it. I think there have been people that are just so hard to reach. And that would be my hope, is that we...
So the message hasn't gotten out to them?
Or there's people that I won't use...
Or are you thinking of like the addict that doesn't want to recover, so it doesn't matter how many times they go through rehab, it doesn't count until they want to.
There's that, or there's examples of people who have been veterans that have been on the streets for 20 years. One of the officer mental health folks that I've known for a while dealt with one person for over 20 years, finally got them to come in for housing. And I mean, it's like, it's hard for you and I think, to go, man, if someone is after me, you know, and, you know.
But if I don't want it, I don't want it.
But you keep asking them until someone decides.
I hate government coercion, which is kind of what it's sounding like.
No, it's just opportunity and having a police officer is telling you to do something, you may not want to do it. Mental health may help be able to provide that, you know, that kind of an understanding between the two. Or maybe the mental health practitioners recognize there's real problematic people in the community, and law enforcement is helpful for them to reach those people.
So why not have like Vacaville or the state mental facilities reopened, or someone like the public guardian who then monitors and makes sure and is the assistance for the, I mean, it seemed like the system was working before, but things have changed. Now we're throwing additional monies and additional employees at it, and now we have to do it more and more and more.
Well, is that
a fair assumption, or is that
I think facilities closing certainly did cause, you know, we are again having to adjust to things that are not necessarily not.
So why not expand Semper Virens and put in a program, not to, Goldsby has said I can use them, like Mike used to have about getting people off substance and the addiction part of it, and really do something instead of more monitoring.
You know, I can actually talk with you about that more probably in about 2 months.
Fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:46. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:49. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon for a brief moment with Virginia Bass. A little shuffling going on in the courthouse?
We need a courthouse shuffle. Yeah, actually, there's always shuffling going on, but we're looking at the new court facility that years ago was supposed to have moved ahead, and this week it was on our agenda to actually start the lot split, and that's the gravel lot that's next to the courthouse, and a portion of it would be kept for the potential future jail expansion, and the others would be for the courts, because we're actually mandated to build that at the courthouse, or to have them build it. So this is basically offering this piece of land up to the state, and when all that is being done, you'll see some shuffling in the courthouse. Likely, you know, several offices, including ours, would be moved elsewhere because they've got to make room for the, you know, to make sure they have enough judges. It's a really interesting process. And by the way, did you get to go on the jail tour for Rotary?
I had the opportunity, but you know, with all that drug bust, it was like, man, I just feel uncomfortable anyway. I opted not to.
I bet you were afraid they were going to keep you.
Well, no, there were too many promises on that. That was going to happen.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I didn't get to go either, but I know it's probably one of the most interesting meetings that I think Rotary has had.
Yeah, see, I went through the first time, so I didn't have to do a repeat performance. Well, hopefully you won't be outside with the desk.
No,
and a telephone. But we'll see how that one plays out. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop with Virginia Bass. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.